Our sermon today, keeping up with a short series on things that are broken, is from Mark 6, verses 30 through 43. The apostles gathered around Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. He said to them, "Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a deserted place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they hurried there on foot from all the towns and arrived ahead of them. As Jesus went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. When it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now very late. Send them away so that they may go into the surrounding country and villages and buy something for themselves to eat." But he answered them, "You give them something to eat." They said to him, "Are we to go out and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat?" And he said to them, "How many loaves have you? Go and see." When they had found out, they said, "Five and two fish." Then he ordered them to get all the people to sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and of fifties. Taking the five loaves and the two fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before the people. And he divided the two fish among them all. And all ate and all were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish. Those who had eaten the loaves numbered 5,000 men. May God add blessings to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of God's word today. Everybody needs a break now and then, even Jesus. After his disciples had gone out spreading the gospel around the countryside, he invited them to join him on a little getaway where they could rest and relax and refresh. But the nice mini vacay they envisioned was not to be. So many people had heard Jesus speak and were so intrigued by the gentle lessons he taught that they anticipated where he and the disciples were going and intercepted them. They wanted more and more and more of Jesus' spiritual food. The last thing they expected that day was to discover Jesus could also satisfy their physical hunger. There are many different angles to take when studying this particular passage of scripture. As you probably know, a similar version of the story of the feeding of the 5,000 is in all four Gospels, and there are two more instances of a miraculous feeding of 4,000 people in Matthew 15 and Mark 8. And as we heard earlier today, it's not the first miraculous feeding in the Bible. Now, some people deny that a miracle occurred. They insist that what actually happened was, as one person presented his lunch, everyone else was inspired to break out their provisions too, and that's how everybody got fed. That doesn't explain, however, the 12 baskets of leftovers the disciples gathered. Is it really so hard to believe in miracles? To believe that God can and God will provide in times of need? I don't have a problem with miracles. I love miracles. And personally, I think more of us need to believe in miracles. They still happen. I really believe they do. Some of the other touches in this story that are worth pointing out include the fact that there were at least 5,000 people there, and probably more, since women and children weren't counted. 5,000 plus people sitting on a hillside. That's a lot of people. I would posit that another miracle took place that day. 5,000 people, all sitting on the grass together, all listening to Jesus and then eating together. Now, barley loaves, which were most likely the bread that was passed out that day, were the food of the poor. Poor people couldn't afford wheat, so they made do with barley. There's nothing wrong with barley, it's just maybe not as hearty as wheat. And dried fish were also the fare of the less fortunate. Fish were plentiful, and once dried, they were easy to preserve and pack with you when you were traveling. There had to be all kinds of people there that day, for all kinds of people, rich, poor, lawyers, teachers, tax collectors, prostitutes. All these were drawn to Jesus. These people rarely ate together, but on that day, they all sat side by side in that deserted place, and they shared a meal that had been blessed by Jesus. Maybe people who didn't know each other sat side by side and asked the usual get acquainted questions people often ask of one another. Where are you from? What do you do? All of a sudden, without their even realizing it, as they shared the simple meal and listened and learned together, the people became a community. And I don't get the feeling that as the food was passed, people who were used to better types of food, wheat bread, fresh fish, fresh fruit, fresh vegetables, I don't get the feeling that they turned their noses up at what was offered and said, I don't like that. No picky eaters that day. Everyone was grateful for the food. Everyone ate and was filled. They ate until they couldn't eat anymore. No one went hungry, not one of those thousands upon thousands of people. They didn't care where the food came from, and they didn't care what it was. It just seemed to be a natural piece of this spectacular outing they spent outside listening to Jesus, filling up on his words and being completely satisfied in the soul. First, he fed the community on the word of God, and then he fed them with the blessings of God. Community. Did you catch that word? A community dinner. That makes me think of the community dinners we've served over the past few years. I know it has become a bit of a challenge to promote and produce them. I understand people get burned out now and then. It's human nature. Even the faithful group at Community United Methodist Church confessed to me recently that they were getting burned out. But once they took a break, and everybody needs a break, even Jesus, they were fired up again and ready to resume. They've even offered to help us out when our next turn comes up, and that's next week, Monday, August 3rd. I know it has been a struggle to get the groups together to cook and serve. There's even been a smattering of talk about not doing the community dinners at all. I understand the difficulties and the challenges, but I would hate to see us give up on them entirely. It's a great outreach for the community. That word again. But maybe we need to make some changes. You know, I was told, and maybe I misheard, but I thought I was told the community dinners were not a time to push church on the people who attended. The purpose was just to offer a meal, no strings attached, and let people come and go without getting all churchy on them. I didn't quite like that, but I went along with it. But now I think we need to change that. Now I think we do need to get a little bit churchy. I'm not saying we have to make everyone sit through a Bible study before they eat, captive audience and all that, you know. But I do think when we are back inside and people are seated around the tables in our fellowship hall, there's no reason why we shouldn't go around and say to our guests, how can we pray for you today? Is there anything we can help you with? You know, you're welcome at worship on Sunday. We could be church without being obnoxious. Perhaps this is a good time for us to re-examine what we want our community dinners to do and to be. Perhaps it's time for us to move from charity to justice, from handout to hand up. I've kind of cherished the idea of having cooking classes here, teaching people in our community how to cook nutritious meals for themselves and their families. Wouldn't that be fun? Showing single moms or dads or other people how to make simple meals and then gifting them with all the ingredients they would need to make that meal at home themselves. I do welcome your ideas on what we can do to boost participation in these dinners. See, it's not just a blessing for the hungry people who get to come and eat as much as they want, dessert included, and even get a takeout if they want. It's a blessing for us too. We're like the disciples back then who balked a bit when Jesus said, you give them something to eat. They didn't know quite what to do, so they brought what they could find, 5 loaves and 2 fish to Jesus. And he made a miracle happen. Actually, no, we are the disciples right now, taking what we have and bringing it to Jesus for his blessing, and then walking among the hungry community with a boundless bounty, giving them all something to eat and something to hope for. So tell me your ideas. Let's find a way to make our community dinners more meaningful and more impactful and have more involvement. Let's all be the disciples Jesus asks us and expects us to be. They served, we must serve. They fed, we must feed. We have resources at hand. We just need to look at them, look for them, or look at them in a new way. Our nice big kitchen, all our space in the fellowship hall, our space outside. Picnic, anyone? Sometimes we too often look at our lacks. Older people who can't get out, younger people who are just too busy to help, some people who just aren't aware of or sure of their talents and their capacity to help, and so they doubt they could be of any use. But look at this story. Think about this story. Internalize this story. 5 loaves and 2 fish. That's all Jesus had. This story demonstrates God can do a whole lot with just a little bit. Friends, we have more than we know. We just need to tap into it and believe miracles still happen. And the disciples took up 12 baskets of leftovers, 12 whole baskets full of broken pieces, a basket for each disciple to be in charge of. How did it happen? Jesus was in charge. Jesus knew the needs, and Jesus filled every need. And when the disciples brought the loaves and fish to him, Jesus did something people saw, had seen done in their own households countless times. As the host of the feast, Jesus was in charge of asking for God's blessing on the meal. So he lifted the bread high and he broke it, and he most likely said the usual words of blessing. Blessed are you, O Father, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth. I like to think the blessing inspired the miracle. When we say a blessing, are we blessing the food or are we blessing God for providing the food? Yes. We ask that the bread will give us strength to carry on our work that God has given us. And we thank God and we let God know we know exactly from whom all our blessings and gifts come. Everything was already blessed, even the broken pieces. God didn't want anything to go to waste. Wastefulness doesn't glorify the God of all provision. I do wonder what happened with the baskets. Maybe as the people left the hillside to head home, maybe the disciples were there telling them, here, take some of the leftovers for the long walk home. Maybe afterwards they went to the nearby village and distributed those blessed leftovers, those blessed and broken pieces to everyone in need. Yes, God can even use the broken pieces in some way or another. In God's sight, nothing is too broken that it can't be made useful again to continue to feed, to continue to bless, to continue the miracles. Let us pray. God, take up all our broken pieces and make them into something useful and beautiful and blessed. Bless our community dinners and each host church, and help us discover ways to take our blessings out into the community, out among the lost and the hungry who need to have their broken pieces gathered and their broken places mended and blessed by you. Every disciple has his or her own basket to bear. So may we find ways to contribute and distribute your goodness to all who come seeking. Amen. May God bless you this week as you go forward into the community, sharing God's love with all, carrying your basket full of goodness and grace and mercy. Go in peace. Amen.